2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, did you know that driverless cars are going to be on the roads over in the UK in 2027? And how long will it be until they come here? And will they be allowed to drive across the border in the meantime? Well, Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor of the Sunday Independent, is the woman in the know, and she's here with me now. Geraldine, you are very welcome back to the show.
Yes, hello. Lovely to be back.
The last time you were in, you happened to be talking about how to buy a used car.
That's it.
And you were giving everybody tips and tricks and advice, so much so that you were in here on the Thursday and I was like, I'm ready to rock. I'm going to buy my first used car. And I walked in on the Saturday morning and I was armed with all of the knowledge that you told me. And I had Brian, my other half, with me, who was like, are you ready to rock? And I was like, I'm ready to rock. And I walked in and I said, I'll take that one, please. He was like, you had all this information. I was like, I know. So he ended up using your advice for me instead. And I was like, it's fine. It was a great deal.
Somebody did.
It was. Now, in fairness, I checked out all the stuff that you told me to check out. So I did all that bit, did all the test drive and all that kind of crack. And I was like, this is the car for me. But it was gas that you just happened to be here on that time. And I was like, I feel inspired to go and do this.
But it is easy to get overwhelmed. You walk in, you go, actually, that colour looks great. Yeah, I'll take that.
Exactly. Yeah. Without checking out everything. So, yeah, you can listen back to any of that on the RT Radio Player app if you were in that position right now. But we are talking about the future, Geraldine, and we are talking about driverless cars. What is the story with driverless cars in the UK? I've mentioned a couple of times during the show that they are going to be over there in 2027, but what's crack?
Interesting thing is this morning there's an announcement that'll actually be 2026. They're bringing it forward. So it had been 2026. They pushed it to 2027. They've now brought it back to 2026. So we'll wait and see. So basically the UK are kind of positioning themselves to be the forefront of autonomous vehicles in Europe. They have passed an Automated Vehicles Act, which kind of, you know, puts a legal framework in it. So there's trials in Milton Keynes, there's Oxford, there's London. You might have noticed there was a BBC video with Zoe Kleinman, their technology editor, driving across London. Now, London, if you've ever driven in London, is a hairy place to be driving in. You know, it's narrow streets. You have to look out for random parked cars, random pedestrians, cyclists, you name it. And yet it navigated it perfectly. So it'll just show you how far advanced the technology is.
I find it so funny that they are trying to bring driverless cars into London when they're notoriously trying to get cars out of London. Like, you get taxed massively for wanting to bring your car in there in the first place.
Yeah, but I suppose there's two schools of thought about self-driving cars. Some people say, oh, it's going to make congestion even worse. Because if you think about it, you know, you want to go shopping in Grafton Street. Suddenly you don't have to park your car. You can just say car, you know, drive around the block there. Come back and collect me in 15 minutes. So that could cause huge problems. But the thing I think is you're never going to own a driverless car because I think they're going to be too expensive. The technology is so high tech. It's so expensive. It's never going to be that cheap. And also, why would you bother? You know, if a car can drive itself, why would you park it for 23 hours in your driveway?
Yeah. Okay.
So I see them as being much more, they'll reduce car ownership and there will be like less cars on the road and they'll be able to move freer. You know, I see it going down that route, but we're a long way away from that.
Yeah.
Moment.
But are you thinking that they'll be used more so for like taxi services and companies? Okay, so like your taxi company might go, we're going to buy in a load of these and then make our money back off them because we're not paying a driver, which is...
Well, that's the interesting thing, making your money back, right? If you look at Waymo, Waymo are the Google cars, the self-driving cars in the States, hugely successful depending on where you are in the States. If you're in New York, you've probably never seen one on the road. If you're in San Francisco, they're literally everywhere, LA, Phoenix. Now, they have gone from, I think it was something like 10,000 paid for rides in August 2023 to 100,000 in May 2024 to 250,000 is what they do now a week.
Right,
so that's huge numbers of people who are jumping into cars, and that's repeat business. So people are obviously using them, they're choosing them. One of the interesting things is one of the reasons they're choosing them is they don't have to talk to somebody.
Okay.
So they're actually getting into the car and thinking, do you know what, I don't have to, you know, make small talk or whatever. But also it's cheaper, as you say, than getting a normal taxi, and the wait times are cheaper. But Waymo are not making money.
Okay.
They're still trying to make money. They're spending a huge amount of money every year investing in this, but they still haven't in any way found a way of breaking even. So the whole thing, the technology is really, really expensive. So yes, we look kind of forward, you're saying, yes, it'll reduce the cost of taxis, obviously, because you take out the driver.
Yeah.
Truck drivers as well, when you think about it, you'll reduce them having, they have to sleep, they have to eat, they can only be on the road for a certain amount of time. If you had automated trucks, then you'd have really great productivity on the road. But we're still, you know, there's still barriers in terms of the actual cost of doing all of this.
But does this mean that our taxi drivers and our truck drivers are going to be out of jobs now?
Yeah, I mean, they're estimating, I think it's 2.7 million truck drivers that could be displaced between now and I think it's 2040. And now they're saying, oh, but AI will create jobs and driverless autonomy autonomous cars will create jobs like sensor maintenance and vehicle maintenance, stuff like that. But you still think to yourself, it'll be nothing in comparison to the amount of jobs that are lost. So it will be a huge shift in that sense.
And also, I don't even trust my Google at home. So I can't imagine that if I was the company owner that I would be trusting it with cargo. If I had a very, you know, trustworthy driver who'd been driving for me for years, I'm not sure I want to take their job off them as quick. But anyways, that is a different scenario altogether. Have you been in one?
Yeah, I was in a driverless bus in 2019 in Norway, and that in Oslo, and that really convinced me that the technology to move a vehicle from A to B is there already. Basically, what the stumbling blocks more than anything have been, obviously, you know, trying them out in cities and dealing with all of those kind of random things that can happen. Also, the infrastructure, the actual smart infrastructure. So the car needs to talk to various different things like the traffic lights and, you know, sensors and all sorts of things. So it needs 5G coverage. And also, I suppose, there's ethical issues, there's legal issues, there's insurance. So there's all of those things. But the actual technology to move a car from A to B has advanced. What's interesting, though, is rural roads have always been a stumbling block, and if you think of Irish roads, I mean, you can barely see the edge of the car, edge of the road, and you know, the bad road signs, bad road markings, and everything. But Nissan have a car, a Leaf, that they're trialling in the UK at the moment, and apparently it can navigate rural roads no problem.
Okay,
and it can actually get to roundabouts. It doesn't hesitate, because this is the one thing that, you know, the self-driving cars have always been overcautious, so they tend to stop, and whenever they're in doubt, their solution is, I'll just stop and assess the situation. Okay. But this drives confidently, like a knowledgeable driver. It makes various decisions behind the wheel. So we're getting to the stage now where we'll actually, you know, you could see cars, you know, driverless cars on rural roads, and they're looking at 2027 to actually deploy these cars. Now, not again in the personal market. This is going to be in the mobility, shared mobility space.
I have one more question about just the driverless taxis, because this is the bit that interests me. If you're even thinking about, like, you know, one sending one off for a lap around and then coming back into you, is there a possibility that someone could steal a driverless car if they're a passenger?
Well, I don't think you could override the technology, though, because the technology is in control. You're sitting in the back of the car, remember. Yeah. Now, for the moment, they have people sitting. Well, the Waymo ones in the States, as far as I know, they don't. They're monitored remotely. But I know any of the trials in the UK, they still have to have an actual person sitting in them. But no, you wouldn't be able to override that technology. Okay. You just sit in the car. But the interesting thing is, public confidence is a huge issue in all of this, and even what you're saying. But the Waymo success in the States has been from repeat customers, while they're expanding into other cities, and that's why their numbers are going up all the time. But actually, people, like, it is repeat customs, so people feel safe in them. Yeah. And once they've used them, they do trust it. And obviously, when you're sitting, you know, in the car and you actually watch it navigate the traffic, you're obviously, you know, reassured, look, this is doing a better job than maybe I would.
So I've watched the videos of it, and like, it throws me over the edge when the steering wheel just goes and goes to the left, and then they turn to the right. I just, like, I am adrenaline junkie at the best of times, and I think I would trust a roller coaster over trusting one of these. But that's just where I'm at right now, because as you said, I've never actually tried it yet. I know you're talking about the technology being, you know, incredibly good, and it really is getting there and stuff, but are there some safety issues at all, or is there, like, you know, any cases of things going wonky that they've seen?
Yeah, I mean, there has been cases, there's been passengers, like, locked in cars where it just, you know, refused to open. There was a glitch in the software. There are still times when it cannot deal with just randomness. And I mean, the thing about it is as well, when drivers break the law and they do things that's totally unexpected, so driverless cars then go, oh, hold on a minute, you know. So they also have to be re-engineered to allow them break the law or anticipate breaking the law. So things like that. Manholes, people popping out of manholes apparently causes them huge problems. There's still weather issues, you know, so in fog and dusk, there can be issues about detecting pedestrians at times like that. So there's lots of things to get over still, but they're becoming less and less common, these so-called edge cases. But until they're, I suppose, completely eliminated, people won't, you know, that risk of them is too much for a lot of people. But look, you know, that, as I said, the technology is learning. And I mean, the Waymo cars, I think, have 20 million miles of driving they have knowledge of.
Mad.
So when you think about it, our experience comes from, you know, just being on the road, yeah. and I suppose, you know, coming across every possible scenario. So the more that they're tested, the more they will actually have a solution to all of these things.
I've just found my next excuse for being late to work. It'll be, oh, Kate, I'm really sorry. I'm actually stuck in a driverless car. I can't get out. There's a glitch happening right now. What kind of issues are we looking at that could arise if cars are allowed in Northern Ireland, but not in the Republic? You know, is it going to be like clear on the border that they're not coming down here, or is it going to be a bit?
Yeah, Ireland is a bit behind in the sense we did pass an act last year which permitted testing of autonomous vehicles, but very little more. We haven't really defined a legal framework and we haven't really defined a whole lot. So if you have a situation in 2026 where they're allowed in the UK, you can imagine that they would be allowed in the north. And then you would have a situation where they might stray over the border and come yeah. down. So there is going to be headaches about that, about insurance as well. How would that work out, about liability? Mm. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to present huge issues. But maybe it'll force Ireland to go, do you know what? It's about time we actually put a structure in place and did something a bit more. I mean, there is testing going on. The mobility campus down in Shannon is testing autonomous cars and there's various different things. But we have an issue with the lack of 5G coverage, our rural roads, yeah. as I said. So, yeah, we've a lot to do in that sense. But it is going to be interesting when you have, like, literally within the, you know, the island, you have autonomous cars permitted.
Yeah, that's what I mean, like the two spaces of it. Do you think it's going to be long before the EU kind of catches up with the UK, or is it something that they're even thinking about looking at now?
They are, but again, you have different countries and different states moving at different paces, mm. and that's the big problem. And they don't, you know, there's various different protocols that need to be standardised across all of the various different countries. France and Germany are quite ahead. They'd be kind of on a par with the UK. Then we've the likes of Ireland. Then there's people, there's states that yeah. have done nothing. So I'd say it'll be the 2030s before okay. they'll really catch up, but that's not that far away.
No.
I say that thinking it's ages away and it's the next decade. But yeah, it's only a few years away. So, but I think if the UK do get cars on the road by 2026, as I said, it'll make the other states go, hang on a minute, you know, yeah. we're behind here, we need to catch up.
And I mean, we all love a little bit of competition. Do you think though that we're going to end up in a phase where, like, you know, a traditional car, like driving it, will nearly become a hobby, kind of like riding a horse or something? Do you know what I'm saying? If you don't yeah. need to do it, is it going to be like, oh yeah, I might rent a little car when I go away? Whereas, you know, we could be in a position where all around the world you wouldn't actually need to go and rent a car because you get a driverless car and it could bring you absolutely anywhere and it could drop off at different points, kind of nearly like the rent and the bike scheme. You know,
yeah, no, but the same thing. Yeah, exactly the same idea. I think we're still a good bit away from that in terms of just the cost of these okay. cars. I think they're going to be very much taxis, you know, trucks, those sort of things. But as I said to you, when it actually works properly, completely, you would think to yourself, why would I own a car? If yeah. I could just dial a car, you know, why would I need to worry about parking if they can just drop me off and come back and collect me and then drop me home? And, you know, if there was that facility, yeah. it's hard to see why somebody would own one. And as I said, I think they're still going to be too expensive to actually okay. own. And I can't see why you'd have one in your driveway for 23 hours sitting there when it can drive itself.
Charity, why should I bother getting my license at all?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I should have just held off on the bus for another year.
And
I would have been all right.
Like, why did you bother another few years and you'd be grand?
Geraldine Herbert, the motoring editor at the Sunday Independent, thank you so much for coming back into us again. Really enjoyed that. In fairness, when I was a kid, I thought we'd have flying cars at this point. So we are actually still behind in
We're
terms
so
of where that would be.
So disappointing. I know. We had these very great visions of 2025 that just haven't materialised.
Thank you so much for coming in. We'll be right back after these.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.